Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. I'm not usually the one who introduces this, so I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. It's me, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snowqueer on Tumblr, and I am joined today, as usual, by my co-host. You want to introduce yourself, sir?
It is me. I'm Dom, aka Brother Dom on the internet and everywhere where you'd want to find me. It feels different being second. It feels like a whole new world being
the tables.
The tables have turned because April Fools, that's our elaborate joke. Haha, we did it. We're amazing. Look how good we are.
It pranked me. He didn't tell me what he was doing beforehand, so.
Look how crafty. That's the best jokes. No one got hurt, and it wasn't even really that funny. Woo-hoo.
You're so sneaky. It's like you're a rogue.
It is like that. How's your day going today, Steph?
Well, we had a pretty fun Dungeons & Dragons campaign earlier today. Killed an ogre.
We did. Orc. We did kill an ogre. We were on a bloody rampage after we decided to start hitting people and not rolling 1 through 7. We actually dropped some bodies, let the bodies hit the floor. Well, that's pretty cool. What? Anything else going on this weekend with you? You having a good time?
I'm having a good time. I had the same friend that I helped out last weekend with costume commissions needed some more help this weekend, so I spent my whole Saturday, again, at her house sewing stuff. But the dress I finished was pretty beautiful, so I'm pretty pleased.
Very nice. That's cool. I've been working on some cosplay stuff, too. I'm trying to learn how to do a zigzag stitch without bunching up the fabric, and it's weird.
Fun. I have no idea how to do that hand sewing.
Neither do I, but I'm using a machine. No. And that was our first Audacity error crash in like 50 some recordings between the two of us. This is the first time we've had some kind of thing mess up. Good old April Fool's biting us in the butt.
That's what we get for doing such a crummy joke.
My joke was hilarious. But no, I didn't get a sewing machine anywhere. I'm just borrowing my mom's.
Okay.
Which I know enough how to sew like a straight line, but yeah, it's weird to do. It's fun. It's very interestante.
If the sewing machine, your zigzag stitch is bunching up on the sewing machine, it's probably because your tension isn't high enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I guessing from not looking at it, but I would fiddle with the dials and see if there's like a something you can adjust the tension or something, because the zigzag stitch, the bobbin should catch it and hold it in place, like the bobbin thread, so.
Oh, no, the fabric's bunching up. The thread's going fine. It's just that I'm not good at it just yet. Because when I do a straight line with zigzag, it looks fine, but when I'm trying to turn corners and stuff,
okay.
It gets a little funky. I'm going to blame myself more for that.
Yeah, well, turning corners, if you're turning a hard corner, you want to drop the needle into the fabric, stop sewing, and lift the foot and turn the fabric, and then drop the foot again and keep going.
See, I'm doing like a circle.
Circle, then you just kind of want to curve it as you go. But if when you turn, which is tricky. Yeah, but when you're done, do you clip the curves? Are you like turning it right side out or anything like that?
Oh, I'm using them for they're for decorative stitching. So like trying to imitate a hockey jersey's like logo.
Gotcha. Okay, I was gonna say when you're sewing practical. Like a curved seam, then you want to like trim the inside of it so that it doesn't bunch up when you turn it right side out.
See, I'm gonna do that for the little bit of stuff I have. April Fool's Day, y'all. It's not a sewing podcast. I just needed to know these things for the power of Overwatch. It's where all things lead if you give them enough time.
We're really like I like to seize my chance to enlighten anyone possible about cosplay knowledge, however small.
Well, it's every cosplay I do, I learn a little bit more of a skill. I get a little bit better at something. I'm not going to be great anytime soon, but the improvements I've been seeing since my first costume have been really good. I'm happy.
You're leveling up a little bit, like little by little. It's just not what it's not your dump stat.
I'm not using rare candies to level up. I'm actually
Usually grinding.
It's oh man, it's so rough because you know where you want to get, but I'm more of the I like the play part more than the costume part. I like the acting, being a character. That's what's fun for me, and luckily
I'm
for
totally
me.
the opposite.
Oh, I love it. Like I'm gonna be Lucio, so that's pretty much just gonna be, hey, show up and play some music and just talk to people.
It works. One of the reasons it works for you is because you tend to pick characters who are very like you.
Well, like, how else do people pick characters?
I pick characters a lot because I either not necessarily relate to the characters, but because I love the characters, whether or not I'm like them at all, or because they have a really cool outfit that I want to make.
I think, okay, so you're more invested in fiction than I am, but, well, some of the characters I play don't really act like me. Like, when I was Quote or Cadence, they're nothing like me. Mostly because Quote doesn't talk, because he's just a blank slate robot, and Cadence is a grave-digging woman, who I'm neither of those things.
Thank you for clarifying on both counts.
Not like, she's not like a corpse looter. She like would dig graves for people, I believe, but oh well.
She just happens to work in a cemetery.
Yeah, or at least, well, she did go into a crypt to find like her mom, grandma, music. It's, that story is both simple and complicated, but back to the tasks at hand. It was April Fool's Day this weekend, and a few things happened I guess are worth discussing in a straightforward sense.
Yeah, so it was April Fool's Day this last weekend, and did you get got by any pranks?
For like half a second, when I was just waking up, so I'm in a GroupMe chat, and my friend texted me. I didn't even put this on the show notes because I just remembered it, but my friend's texted me. It was it says A&E is now had a trailer for like a Grand Theft Auto show, so like Walking Dead, that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, that seems possible. Like, I didn't watch it. I just went back to sleep. And then my friend's like, oh, I had to... It almost got me for a second. I had to check what day it was. I'm like, oh, it's April Fool's Day. Darn it. Like, that sounded pretty cool. So, like, I didn't actually get tricked by it. I was like, oh, that's a great premise. That might suck, but it could be awesome. I'm going back to bed. So, that's the only thing that, like, almost got me. Everything else, I was just on high alert and watched a lot of YouTube videos that did the thing that we did at the beginning of our show where they... just departed from form, but it wasn't, no one was tricked, it was just, let's do something a little bit different, or be goofy, so. How about you? Anything fool you?
Yeah, actually, and it wasn't so much that it fooled me that I was like, I can't trust this, and I'm going to wait till tomorrow to figure it out, and it, I mean, like, it's tied to the fact that I cannot, I've got, that, like, politics in 2017 have gotten to the point where I can't tell whether... like, an article is an Onion headline, or an article is genuinely news.
Yeah, someone pointed out that, like, any political headline from this year could have been an April Fool's Day joke any of the last, like, 30 years.
Yeah, so, like, I woke up and saw that George Takei was running for Congress, and I was like,
okay,
that's not unbelievable. I was like, worst people have run for government. Like,
and won.
And won. And, like, he's very politically, like, vocally political, and the rumor was that he was buying property in Devin Nunes's district so that he could run specifically against Devin Nunes. So it's like, I mean, like, I was sitting there and I was like, on one hand, George Takei is, like, king troll of the internet. Like, he is, like, the king of, like, kindly trolling. On the other hand, I totally believe that he would run for office.
Like, if someone told me today that Chris Evans was running for some kind of political office, like, I wouldn't believe that. That seems possible. I mean, you got to remember that, I can't remember his name, if this is a shame, but he quit being Kumar to go be in Obama's administration. Why can't I remember his name?
Cal Penn.
I love Cal Penn. I don't know why I forget his name. Yeah, so that's not, like, that ridiculous to believe. Like, Cal Penn stopped being Kumar and in House, the show, House MD, to go be in Obama's administration. So if you can go from being in Harold and Kumar escape from Guantanamo Bay to being in, like, helping with government...
to helping people escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Like, yeah, if that's a real thing that happened in real life, George Takei and Chris Evans for my fake example. That's not that unbelievable.
Yeah. Also, the Google itself categorizes Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle as adventure/stoner film.
Yes.
They know exactly what they're...
That movie is really fun to watch. The second one's good once. There's no need to rewatch it. It doesn't hold up. Because you just get madder and madder watching it. just because the villain is so one note, you're like, I don't know. You just get mad because it's like, you know, episodes of Family Guy where the whole plot is completely hinged on Peter did something dumb, not because of his character was dumb and made a mistake. It's just like, oh, I'm going to jump out of a window right now. And then the plot kicks off. You're like, you couldn't even give us the courtesy of pretending to write some kind of segue. Like, you had to just do something random. Okay, I'm done watching this show. And then you turn 13. but yes. So April Fool's Day was very eventful. I just saw it today, but there was a Shazam video. And those who don't know, a lot of people believed that Sinbad the comedian was in a genie movie called Shazam. Many people think they were confusing that with Kazam, the genie movie that Shaq was in, which is a whole other discussion that even exists. But people are like, no, I know Kazam, but Shazam was this other thing. And Sinbad was like, guys, stop asking me about this. I wasn't in a movie called Shazam. And you can look it up. It never existed. And this was kind of off the heels of like the whole Berenstain Bears and like Mandela effect thing. So what College Humor and Sinbad did, they went back and like recreated a scene from this fictional movie and gave it like some effects to make it look like someone ripped it off of VHS and all that kind of stuff. So that was a fun little thing. They probably could have got more away with it if, like, in the scene where the kids are, when they uncover the genie lamp, there's, like, a newspaper that says Nelson Mandela dead at XYZ or something. And then there's, like, a Berenstain Bears book where you can't see if it's Steen or Stain. And you're like, oh, okay, they're really leaning into this. Like, obviously it's a joke because it's on College Humor, but, like, you guys didn't even really try to fool anybody.
In the vein of this, cause wasn't that how Slender Man started? Like, people were like, oh, like, come up with a good story that sounds like something that you would have, like, that sounds like a real horror story or something.
So, like, in the creepypasta community, I don't know if there was ever a point where people were claiming that Slender Man was real, but I know there's a large contingency of people who know for a fact that he's not, but just kind of like the urban legend and, like, making the photoshops and that kind of stuff. And maybe some people believed it, maybe some people, I'm not sure.
There was like a brief trend in Homestuck fandom where they tried, like, the fandom tried to basically do this Shazam thing, but with the Squidly show that Jade watches.
Like, it's too, like, real. people know it was a lie. It's too, like, easy to figure
like
that out.
Because it was like a cartoon, and like in the so there are some videos of it that are like completely divorced from like Homestuck. It's just like videos of like Squid Friends doing stuff, like very like cartoony stylized, kind of like a My Little Pony but with octopuses, kind of thing. Okay. And so then people would like post videos of it and be like, oh my gosh, do you remember when like so and so went on that adventure with so and so, and like they tried really hard, and I was like, guys, this isn't. You're not going to make Squidlies happen.
It's not going to work.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Was it, like, I feel like Toby Fox could have done that, because he could have been like, oh, hey, this thing that I put in Homestuck's actually something, like, from my childhood. You can see it in these old videos that I made way before Homestuck or something, like, could have tried to get away with that, but
yeah,
the ship sailed.
It didn't work. I was watching it with kind of, like, bemused outsider interest, despite being, like, very active in the fandom at the same time, just, like, kind of, like, huh, this is an interesting endeavor. I wonder if it will work.
You need patience, I guess, is the biggest thing.
Yeah, I don't think they seeded it across enough platforms with enough, like, depth going back in time, if that makes sense. Like, you can't just post, like, a couple things on Tumblr and only refer to it within the last, like, month.
Yeah. People were like, you weren't talking about this, like, last... Like, I'm sure if you search Shazam on the internet, you could find, like, cases from, like, 5 years ago. Like, on a, like, a Something Awful forum or, like, a GeoCities site.
Yeah. GeoCities was dead more than 5 years ago, I'm pretty sure, Dom. We aren't that old now.
I don't even feel like Geocities died, but that makes sense. Or like an archive of a Geocities site. Like, I know it's dead now. But I think Slenderman did start, like, on the, like, the Something Awful or E-Bombs world, like, where people, like, when you see it, you'll shit bricks kind of forum posts.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, like, a picture of, like, some people taking a selfie, and there's, like, a shadow figure in the background, like, or something, like, some guy's peeping in the window or something creepy, like, oh, crap, this is gonna be bad. And one that I saw was just, like, a picture of a playground, and Slenderman was in there, and he, like, had a lot of, like, it wasn't the Slenderman that we know now, but it was, like, a really elongated person. Mm-hmm. And it just was unsettling enough that you're like, what the hell is that? And there wasn't any context to it. So I think Slenderman may have worked for once the pictures got disseminated outward. So there was a lot of people that knew it was fake, but for me, who never even heard of it, was like, that's really weird and effed up, man. Like, I don't know what this is. And then you grow up a little bit and spend more time on the internet and find out it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. The other thing that was great for April Fool's Day, Adult Swim just decided to show the season 3 premiere of Rick and Morty yesterday on loop for like 4 hours, unannounced, completely just did it. And
which is not exactly a prank, but it's still pretty awesome. It's a nice surprise. Right.
Yeah, I guess the prank aspect of it is that it was just completely unannounced. And a lot of just seeing social media blow up like, guys, this isn't a drill. Like, because when they tweeted out, like the Rick and Morty tweet went out, like, hey guys, we're airing season 3 episode today, and people are like, don't play with people's emotions, man, we've been waiting for a long time. And then people are like, this isn't a drill, guys, they're right, they're not lying. And it's a brand new episode. Adult Swim's really good with their April Fool's pranks, if you'll call them. Mm-hmm. Bringing Toonami back started as a prank, slash, let's see if how much interest there is in this, and it got a ton of interest. A lot of people's first exposure to The Room, the movie with Tommy Wiseau,
mm-hmm.
was when Adult Swim decides to play every April Fool's Day for a few years. Back when the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie was coming out, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, snap, we're going to show you the whole entire movie if you tune in tonight. So people are like, let's see what the joke is. And they showed, like, the first 2 minutes of it uncensored, like, unadulterated. Well, like, censored cuss words, but... And then, like, 2 minutes, the screen just shrunk to the bottom of the screen real small, where you can kind of see what was going on, but not really. And it just played the sound of whatever else was actually on the TV. So, like, annoying things, but mostly everyone just like, this is the best April Fool's Day because Rick and Morty is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And holy shit, if you're a Rick and Morty fan, whew.
Was a hell of an episode?
It was one of the most Rick and Morty episodes I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it solved stuff, it asked more questions, it did callbacks. It did something that... Community probably does, I'm assuming, because Dan Harmon. But one of the things they did is a lot of the beats in this episode, or at least the first part of it, are not beat for beat, but a very, very similar premise to a season 1 episode. And the solution that the characters get through is kind of the same type of thing, but it goes a whole other direction. And, you know, people's past things have come to roost, all this other stuff, and it just... it ends with the feelings, like, the holy shit quotient, to quote TV Tropes, like, has been upped once again, which I didn't think would be possible. And mm-hmm. I just want to talk about it with somebody who's that deep in the lore. So,
well, if you give me, like, a year,
maybe.
I'll watch
like
it.
There's, like, 25 episodes.
6 months.
It's so good. Okay.
I'm still on episode 5 of Stranger Things, and it came out before Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, so...
Look, I'll be honest with you and the audience. I have such a hard time, like, binging shows that are an hour.
Me too. That's probably part of it. I do much, like, better with shorter shows.
Because you watch, like, a show like Law & Order or Criminal Minds, which is A... You really don't need to pay attention to get the gist of what's going on. Someone did a heinous act, they left enough evidence, then the cops use, like, basically magic to find them. And then they go to jail or the person dies. And even though it's an hour on TV, it's only, like, 42 minutes. Like, so it's a lot more digestible than, hey, watch this episode of Luke Cage, it's an hour and 10 minutes. It's like, I don't need to watch 10 movies, you guys. This is a little tough. So when someone's like, Stranger Things, I'm like, not gonna happen, guys. I'm never gonna watch Stranger Things, even though I want to. There's too much content. What's his next thing? It's not a joke.
Next thing that's not a joke. Let's see.
Spider-Man trailer, yeah?
Yeah. I just reorganized the show notes while you were talking. Hooray.
I saw that. Peripheral vision.
Peripheral vision monitors. For other... Oh, for two monitors. I was going to say, for other tabs.
Yeah, I have two monitors, so it's... it's such a shame. I have a laptop, then another TV, which is a monitor, and then my real TV. This just has Chromecast on it. My Chromecast's quote-unquote name is Chromeland, because I couldn't think of something funnier or nerdier, so it just says Chromeland. Awesome, I know. Nice. I'm going to leave that in, too. People are going to love this riveting content.
But anyway, the Spider-Man trailer is next in the notes. Did you watch it?
I did not, because it was going to be after the break. So...
Do you want to pause and watch it?
Nope.
That's my bad.
That's cool. So, tell us about the Spider-Man trailer.
So, there was a new Spider-Man trailer this last week. I was imagining that it was the same one that aired with the Power Rangers movie, and it turned out it was different. So it was there was a little more content in it. A little more about Peter and Tony's relationship, and it seems a lot like Tony is very self-aware of the problems he has caused for himself and is desperately trying to keep Peter from making the same mistakes.
Yeah, it sounds self-fulfilling.
Yeah, but also being a little bit like helicopter parenty about it. So I'm interested to see exactly how much Iron Man is in this movie.
You know, I'm curious to know, like, how do you have a movie about Spider-Man that Iron Man can also be in? And do you take the route of, we want Spider-Man to get rid of his own villains, or we want to team up with Iron Man? Because there is the elephant in the room that we've seen 5 Spider-Man movies in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And, like, for, I guess, I don't know the target demographic for these Marvel movies is, but I'm guessing it's probably our age to 38-ish. And
the 18-40 demographic?
Well, that's hard to say, because the 18-year-old demographic probably didn't see the original Spider-Man movies in, like, the time they came out.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
If we want to play the age game, and then...
Did the Spider-Man movies predate Iron Man?
Yes.
So, yeah, like, the Tobey Maguire ones, yeah, like, those were... Yeah,
Spider-Man 3 came out in 2007.
So that was before the two of us were even in college.
Yeah, and then Iron Man came out the next year.
Yeah, because I remember that Iron Man came out freshman year because it was out in the movie theaters at the same time as the Speed Racer movie, and I chose to see Speed Racer, and me and Sam and Heather were going to see a movie, and we're like, let's see, Iron Man or Speed Racer? We're like, Speed Racer, and I didn't even see Iron Man until it was on DVD.
Oh, so, the context of me first coming in contact with Iron Man, my buddy's dad, he's like, hey, come out on the boat with us for a while, we're gonna, like, go boating for a little bit, and then we'll go to the drive-in. Mm-hmm. So we're like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. So we get to the drive-in, and it was the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and then Iron Man, and I was just there for the ride. I didn't care about either of these. So, like, I want to say 30 minutes into the Crystal Skull, something stung me on the lip, like a sweat bee or something. So I'm like, oh, man, this really doesn't feel good. So luckily, for some reason, I had allergy medicine in my pocket. So I'm like, let me just pop one of these. And so I wake up at the credits of Crystal Skull, and I'm like, well, I didn't care about that anyway. Let's see about this Iron Man. So he's in the desert, and some bombs go off. And I wake up when I hear the credits. I'm like, well, good thing I came to drive it today. And I didn't see Iron Man for 3 years. So I don't have a lot of attachment to that. So yeah, so a young audience... If you're 18 now, what does that mean?
That means you were born in 1999.
Yeah, so you were like a little kid when the first Spider-Man movies came out, so like...
You may or may not have seen them. Yeah. They weren't like adult in contents, like there wasn't like hot sexing happening, but like they had pretty grown-up themes.
Yeah, they were like definitely on the 13 side of PG, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if that would have been something a kid would have wanted to see. Because I don't feel like our generation wanted to see them that much to begin with.
Spider-Man 2 is one of my mom's favorite movies, period. Like, she always has, like, she... I wonder if she'll ever listen to this, and she'll cringe when I say it, but this is a direct Gale quote that constantly happens, is, Spider-Man 2 isn't just one of my favorite superhero movies. It's one of my favorite movies.
That's not a bad thing, though. I think it's arguable it's a good Spider-Man movie.
It's easily the best Spider-Man movie of the five Spider-Man movies that we have.
And it's not even the worst, like, Marvel movie. Like, if you just take all of Marvel's movies,
like,
it's not even the worst.
Like, movies with Marvel heroes,
yeah. Yeah, I'm not even... it's not even... If it was in the MCU, it's probably not the worst MCU movie either. Mm-hmm. If you were to just throw it in there. So, the hopes for this movie... I hope we don't have to see Uncle Ben die again, because we get it.
I don't think so, because it's set post-Civil War.
Yeah, but are they going to, like, go back and, like, give us an origin story?
God,
are they gonna
I hope just, like, not.
Because, like, we get it. Like,
that's, like, a thing, like, I didn't put it in the notes, but we could get into it. The Marvel's like, we have too many diverse characters, but I think we should have this movie where Uncle Ben dies again.
Yes.
Like.
So getting into that, like, I got an Twitter argument today where someone, like, showed the pictures where, like, these kids were being social justice warriors and calling, like, Black Captain America, like...
Like an Uncle Tom, basically.
No, that I could get that. I get why that divide would happen. But she was like, oh, here comes, like, Captain Mansplain or something, and some other dude
Captain
was like...
Oh, yeah, Captain Patriarchy.
Yeah, and they're like, someone's like, oh, folks really like taking pictures out of context, huh? So you show, like, the full page that it was on and, like, the next page, and I'm like, I get what they were going for. In fact, they were probably going for a good thing. This, like, putting it in context doesn't change the complaint. The complaint is that these kids are... well-intentioned but misguided, like, they're doing too much. Like, I get that, cool.
Yeah, it's just like it's using, like, social justice language to portray people who use social justice language as, like, Tumblr teens who will be offended by everything.
Yeah, like, imagine if, I don't know, let's say Captain America Steve Rogers isn't in Hydra and he's like defending some city, and, like, some Black Lives Matter activists are there, and there's a few Black Lives Matter activists that are like, the only way to win is to kill white people. You know, not the thing that Black Lives Matter actually believes, but for the sake of this comic, we believe that. So they obviously get stopped because killing people, especially innocent people, isn't a good thing. And Captain America's then like, oh, look, here comes Whitey again to stop black people from doing anything. It's like, bro, you were literally breaking the law, but by linking those two things... As well-intentioned as that guy was, you're saying, well, see, he went too far with killing people. Maybe saying that racism's real is going too far, too, huh? So, like, there's no amount of frames you can add to that panel that would take away the complaint that calling Sam Wilson, like, Captain Patriarchy, that's the problem. It's not that the teens went too far with their social justice. Like, that's an old trope that... Like, it's the, what is that, like, paladins that fight too long, you know, he who fights monsters and all that. Like, that's a thing, that's a trope, I get that. I'm sorry, I had to vent about that, because, like...
No, it's okay.
But yeah, so maybe we will see Iron Man and Spider-Man fight together. Because that would at least be a new take on Spider-Man.
Yeah, but in the, apparently, I think the context of this is that they let some journalist sites sit in on what would otherwise have been a closed-door meeting at a sales conference or something, like, something that would have only been between, like, Marvel execs.
See, I don't see why they thought that was a positive idea for them.
I feel like between, like, letting these people in there and then also saying the things they said while they had an audience that was going to report on it are, like, they're two critical errors. Because somewhat like the fact that there's no amount of context you can add to the Sam Wilson's SJW versus the SJW panels to make them okay, there's no amount of context you can add to Marvel executives blame diverse character-led comic books for their slumping sales that make it okay.
Yeah, so the only context that you could have to, like, in the sense of this would, you'd have to say, we were misquoted, and here's a real quote. That's the only thing you could do. And the misquote could go something along the lines of, I don't know, let me spitball here. Hey, you know what, guys? We tried doing the diversity thing, and I think these are quality storylines.
But not making money.
They're not making money. Do we want to just pander to, like, our tried and true audiences rather than trying to expand the market? Because that's a legitimate thing that people talk about. Usually, if you do it well, like, if your stories are good and you promote them, like, you have games with female protagonists and that kind of thing, comics with people of color, and you do good stories, normally they sell pretty well. It's not the problem. You look at a game like Resident Evil 6, and this wasn't diversity of, like, people, but a game like Resident Evil 6, it had so many gameplay styles, like first-person shooter, action, survival, all this stuff, that it just became a mess because they were trying to appeal to too many people, when they should have just appealed to horror fans. Now, that's not a one-to-one comparison. Like, horror fans and marginalized people aren't the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if for some reason they thought, they're like, do people of color not like the kind of comics we create? And that was a question. Someone could raise their hand and say, no, that's not true.
Or they could say, like, no, they like certain comics you create, but there are issues with other ones, like your Luke Cage limited series, like.
Yeah, and it's kind of, oh god, this is like, it's like Ghost in the Shell, right? You could come to two conclusions.
One, from its poor anime its movies poor... don't sell, or.
Or B, people really, really hate whitewashing. Or C, if you make a movie that people really don't like that much, it's not going to sell well, because there's critics that are like, oh yeah, so I don't really know much about this anime, so the whitewashing doesn't really, I don't know much about this. This wasn't an enjoyable movie.
But the movie was terrible one way or the other, like.
Yeah, it's kind of like I said with Tilda Swinton. You did something racist, but you at least pulled, like, a serviceable performance out of it. So now we can only talk about the culture of it versus Ghost in the Shell. It sucks and it's racist, so that's great.
You didn't
fantastic.
Even try. Like, same thing that I've heard about Iron Fist. Like, not only is the acting wooden, it's also that white, like, a terrible white savior narrative. Like, good job, guys.
Yeah, and that a lot of that stuff just doesn't fly like it used to. And there's even, you could even try to justify it flying before, like, oh, hey, we had, I don't know, less actors to choose from in a time where we didn't really have these people in our country as much because of, like, socio-political things. That's why, if we wanted to make a movie set in another country, we just used white people. That excuse might work in, like, the 40s, because things were tense because of certain wars. But this is 2017, where such tension is more artificial. So there's no reason to... You don't have to whitewash. And also, Asian Americans are Americans, so even if you want to set something in America, like, I don't know, Death Note, for instance, it doesn't have to be a white dude. You can be flexible.
Yeah, and, like, the thing about it is, like, how long do you think it took for Hollywood to realize that female-led action movies made money? Because I feel like it, like, The Hunger Games came out, and no one cared, and, like, it kept going and going, and finally, like, they were like, oh, let's try this. And they made, like, Lucy, and it was terrible.
Didn't it make a lot of money, though?
I think it made a lot of money. So, but, like, still. So, like, then they made a lot of money. So, good. Like,
exactly.
So, like, you figured something out. Like, but, like, with...
I think the takeaway of Lucy is that you can sell a movie starring, like, Scarlett Johansson and Morgan Freeman, who are both, like, I love Morgan Freeman. I love Scarlett Johansson. They both only play one character in every single movie. And I'll keep going to see that. Well, I didn't go see Lucy because I did look bad, but, like, it's... That movie will sell to a lot of people, so just keep making it.
Yeah, but, like, it took Hollywood, like, X amount of years to figure out that female-led movies were drawing money. But, like, The Last Airbender came out in 2010. It's been almost a decade.
Oh, God.
And they're still doing it. Like, racebending.com was founded in 2009.
That's a sight. Oh my god. And when did Kill Bill come out?
Oh, I have no idea. I've never seen it.
But lots of people love Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Uma Thurman, who's, you know, a woman who kicked all kinds of asses and killed people.
Yeah.
And those are... Classics.
Female-led Tarantino movie.
Yes, that's a moneymaker. I mean, Tarantino's very problematic for many reasons. But, like, people will go, I don't know. There's a lot you could say negatively about Django, but like Jamie Foxx was in that movie. It arguably starred him, or at least people thought it did when they went to go see it. So like,
he is the title character.
Yes, but he doesn't become the star till like 95% way through it. Which, that movie seems like a white savior movie until it's the white dude who screws them over the most. It's like, buddy, you could have just like kept your cool for like 5 minutes, and we would have like not almost died. And Django wouldn't have had to shoot, like, 80 people. Which, good action scene, by the way. We should, let's take a break.
Okay, let it be known that we think it's bullshit that Marvel thinks diversity is the reason that their titles aren't selling when they have an event based around Captain America as a Nazi.
And Magneto
as a Nazi. That is their big push right now, so...
Well, that's comics. Marvel Comics. So, when Wonder Woman pulls in a bunch of money and Marvel decides to, like, get their butts kicked in, I don't know. And Harley Quinn is Harley Quinn and Will Smith are arguably the leads of Suicide Squad. People didn't go to see that for the Joker or any of, like, the other randos in the background. They went to go see if, like, and that movie made a ton of money. So, basically what we're saying is, if you put Will Smith opposite of a white woman, you'll make $1 billion. We'll see you after the break. Funny name for it. That's a good title. The April Fool's Commitment.
Alrighty, I hope you all enjoyed that musical break. As always, the information for that music is going to be in the show notes. Support those artists. They presumably are almost always doing what they're doing for free, because that's the kind of music we tend to to sample. So...
Yep, and it's definitely some bullshit this week.
So, yeah, like, look them up, give them some love. What's the next thing on our agenda, Dom?
Frickin' reboots, right? Reboots and remakes. You want to know what's getting a live-action reboot?
What?
You ever see Reboot, the show, the cartoon?
Nope.
Well, it's getting a reboot, so...
That's, meta.
There's a lot going on, so it's,
unnecessarily meta.
Yeah, I want to say it was like, I guess it's technically not meta, it's just like a homonym. It's talking about rebooting, like turning your computer back on. So it's essentially people, like these computer programs, like they live in the computer, and they gotta just make sure the computer runs, and whenever users play a game, if you're trapped in the program, if you're in a certain space, you go into the game world, and if you win, you win. And you defeat the user. If the user wins, you get turned into, like, junk data, I guess. Like a null. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make much sense, in my opinion, but whatever. It's like a whole story, and it goes, like, some weird places. And it was, like, CGI 3D animated. And I guess it's getting a live-action reboot, which could work, but just feels wrong to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, apparently that's in talks. Okay. Unless that was an April Fool's joke... That came early.
It seems a little much.
Oh. Or maybe I just saw someone post about it. Because I just searched it, and it seemed like this came out a while ago. Nope, something else. This might be old. I don't know. Maybe this is old news.
I mean, I haven't heard of Reboot before this week, but I did see a news article about it somewhere, like on the Mary Sue or something.
Okay.
So I think it does exist.
Okay. So, yep. That's a thing, everyone.
Yep.
And the other thing, getting rebooted or restarted, apparently Joss Whedon is going to be directing a Batgirl, or DC wants him to.
Yeah. Yeah. it's DC setting themselves up to fail. Are they intentionally doing this? Like, I was screaming through, like, our work chat, group chat, or not group chat, but, like, the work chat client with another girl from my work the other day about this, because, like, have we still not moved past, like, Joss Whedon, feminist hero as director? Like, is that, like, 2009 opinion still a thing?
We need baby steps.
Because
if this was 2 years ago, I'd say, yeah, we don't need Joss Whedon. But after the disgrace that was The Killing Joke and the utter, like, misogynist destruction of Batgirl's character in that, the animated feature, Joss Whedon doesn't look so bad in comparison.
I'm
willing to bet that he commissioned The Killing Joke so that he would look good in comparison so he could direct another movie.
I just like looking at Joss's past with dealing with women who have gone through traumatic experiences and how he portrays them and their relationships with those experiences. Like, I actually, like, because the word on the street is that the Batgirl movie will be based on the New 52 Batgirl, the Gail Simone's run. Which, on one hand, Gail Simone's run. I trust Gail with my life.
Yeah.
On the other,
that story's unfuck-upable.
On the other hand, the New 52 Batgirl was a Batgirl who had experienced The Killing Joke at some point in her past and had gone through experimental surgery to get her use of her legs back. So still had, like, PTSD and was working through both that and physical therapy in order to regain her previous dexterity and all of that. So, like, this is a woman with a troubled past. And judging from the monologue that I honestly blocked from my mind until I was reading an article about this in Age of Ultron, where Black Widow compares her infertility to being the same level of monstrousness as being able to turn into a green rage monster. I was like, oh my god.
So what you're telling me is Killer Croc's gonna fall into Batgirl's boobs at some point at a cocktail party?
I feel strongly about this.
That line didn't work at all in that movie. So yeah, you know what Joss Whedon kind of seems like with female heroes? Is, you know what? We don't care about the implications of this. We just need this movie, like, on a very basic level to not be shit. Because you could really screw up a movie. Like, with any movie you could screw up. And there's lots of capable female directors that they could call. And that would just be unilaterally better. There's no downside. Well, if you get a good female director, there's no downside to that.
Yeah, and, like, it creates more of that vicious cycle of, like, women can't direct movies because they're untested, but they're never given a chance to be tested, and, like, especially, like, movies that are about female characters that where the woman who could, if a woman was directing it, they would both, A, bring a nuance and understanding to the character that no one who has lived their entire life as a guy could, and also probably avoid any, like, horrible missteps like Bruce Banner falling face first into Natasha's breasts.
Yeah, but that wasn't like you needed to be a woman to not make that misstep. Like, I'm all for hiring women, but I've never lived a day as a woman, but I knew not to write that into a movie, but hey.
Okay, like, so let's say, like, not not putting words in a woman's mouth that make her consider herself a monster because she was forcibly sterilized during her brainwashing.
There was, like, other lines I could have gone with, too. I can't help but kill people.
I've killed a lot of people. Like, I've assassinated political leaders. Like,
I wore a fake face this one time to save Captain America. I'm pretty much the Hulk.
I'm as bad as the Hulk because I can't have babies because of things that were beyond my control.
Versus the Hulk, who all this stuff was completely in his control. And
he did that to himself!
Not even that. Like, freaking, So, I've never heard someone point this out. It's probably been pointed out. So I'm not going to be an original, but... So Black Widow not being able to have a child, arguably, isn't going to be reversed anytime soon, I'd assume, right? However, pretty sure Bruce Banner is almost in control of the Hulk by this point. So, like, starting to not really have a downside to being the Hulk once you can control it. So now he just is, like, super strong, minus the drawbacks. Like, oh, if I get a little angry, I could lose control, but I probably won't lose control because that's my story arc. So that's even more problematic.
Yep.
Well, I still think Quicksilver ain't dead. This whole movie was a mess. Let's talk about Gay Santa.
Okay.
Directed by Joss Whedon.
Oh my god. Can you imagine?
Marvel's
horribly inconsistent. One of them would die. Joss Whedon invented... he didn't invent barrier gaze, but, like, Faith dying in Buffy was, like...
The codifier?
Yeah.
Ugh.
One of the Santas would die if Joss directed this
picture Marvel, book. There's a black person direct... Like, there's a black guy directing Black Panther, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the director of Creed. Coogler? Something
yeah,
Coogler?
Yeah, I think... Is Marvel more afraid of, like, their black audience than their female audience?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, the statistics say that the women go to see the movies, period. Like, viewing statistics, like, women go to see the movies that they've put out already, so that maybe they figure, like...
Do they think that they're not already getting black people in the seats?
I don't know. Maybe...
I mean, they got rid of Terrence Howard, we all came.
Maybe it's just, like, they're, like, I guess since we're setting this in Africa, we really have to not fuck up.
And that's what and Wonder Woman has a female director, right?
Mm-hmm.
You literally have to set your story in a world or a land where white men aren't really that much there.
There's, like, one white man there, and he's in a cryopod.
So that he can't be the director. Like, you had to go to Wonder Woman land. Where there's no men, like, maybe a woman should direct this, I guess. Like, you have to go to, like, not even real Africa, like, fake Africa, like, fake made-up Africa. Like, I guess a black person can have this one. Wow. Good job, comics.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Black Gay Santa.
Yeah, so, I'm wondering how much, whether there's any kind of intellectual property credit going to, I think this came from a tweet originally. But there was, back around Christmas time of last year, there was, I think, a tweet going around that said, when I raise my children, the only Santa they will know is Black Santa. And if anyone shows them a picture of White Santa and they come to me saying, who is this White Santa, I will say that is Santa's husband.
Well, I don't think that you can get intellectual property off the internet because, like, Peach is made on Fleek and hasn't got a penny, so I don't think you get any value out of.
Yeah, so apparently someone pitched this concept to a picture book author as, like, a intellectual property project for the publisher, and they are producing a picture book about Black Santa and his White Santa husband. About next Christmas season. I'm gonna buy it.
I get it.
Hey, I didn't make that on purpose, but it works.
That's cool. This is a cool thing. I have nothing to add to this, really. Actually, hold up.
What do you have to add to it?
So, is Santa black or is Santa's husband black?
Santa is black. They're both Santa, but Black Santa is Santa, and White Santa is his husband.
But so, like, what's his name? Like, Mr. Claus? Like, it can't also be Santa, right? That'd be weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've literally only read the article about it, and it did not specify these distinctions.
So now I have canon questions.
I can address these as more information becomes available.
Oh, no, I'm just bringing them up because they're interesting to me. Okay. So does the whole world in this universe know that Santa is black? I feel like that might raise some questions. Number two, are they still leaving milk out for him?
Because he's potentially lactose intolerant, like you.
I'm going to say he's probably lactose intolerant, like most black people that I've met. At the same time, there's got to be some racist-ass people in Alabama that are like, I don't want that darky coming in here and giving my kids presents unless he drinks some milk. Because gifts are pretty awesome. I'll get over my racism for an iPad.
I feel like it would be like, I don't know if you've probably never seen Tangled. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess you've never seen Tangled.
Why would you guess that?
Because I know you.
Yeah, you're right.
But there's a running joke in Tangled that Flynn Rider's wanted posters never look anything like him. Like, they always get the nose wrong or something.
Right.
And I feel like Black Santa, as, like, primary, like, the Santa, would always just be, like, looking at, like, Santa Christmas cards with white Santa on them being like, this doesn't look anything like me!
Like, well, sir, we just know that there's some tension in the States right now. And it'll also bring up that weird Harry Potter paradox. I'm going to call it that, the Potter paradox.
Okay, which is?
Presumably Santa didn't just start existing in the last couple hundred years. It's like, hey, yo, Santa, why was you letting all those people be slaves? What was you doing, man? Are you under the same wizarding conventions that Harry Potter lands under? You can't interface with the Muggles? Slaves, like, come on, bro, like, hey, it's like, hey, little boy, what do you want for Christmas? Being free might be nice. How about an iPad from the future? I don't know what that means, and I have nothing to charge it on. Well, Dumbledore says I can't
Merry
interfere.
Christmas. So.
That's terrible. And I know they're not... I don't know. I have to ruin everything beautiful. And what's this last gay thing?
This last gay thing is that I might actually watch Doctor Who this season. After... Not that I didn't watch the last seasons of Doctor Who, but, like, I binged them and, like, caught up later because I was like, I guess I watched this show and I should watch it. Watch what happened in it. But, not only is Steve Moffat not the showrunner this season.
Ooh.
Gasp. It's Chris Chibnall, he was a creator of Merlin, and he was, I think, the director or writer of the first two seasons of Torchwood, which a author on Autostraddle described as the best and gayest episodes, or seasons of Torchwood, which is not false.
Hold up, Autostraddle?
Autostraddle, yeah. It's a queer women's pop culture website.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the showrunner is Chris Chibnall, which is good, because anyone that is not Stephen Moffat is an upgrade. Joss Whedon would be an upgrade. But, not only this, the new companion, the Doctor's new companion, is going to be gay. And apparently we are going to find out about this, like, definitively in dialogue in the first episode. Or, like, in the, like, the first or second, line of dialogue. So it's not going to be something, like, secretive or sketchy. And someone that I'm nominally friends with on Tor.com wrote an article about how this is the first full-time gay companion, and I was, like, very confused at first, so I was like, what is a full-time gay? And then I realized that what she was referring to was that, or full-time queer companion, because River is bisexual and Jack Harkness is, like, I wouldn't go so far to even say pansexual, I would say, like, omnisexual, like, as, like, a next step up, but neither of them are full-time companions. They're guest stars at best, like, people who are, like, they're there in some seasons, and, like, for example, like, Jack Harkness was only a character in the first three or four, or for the first five seasons, four seasons of Doctor Who, if I'm counting correctly. It's been so long since I've watched them. So he's, like, very tied to the Russell T. Davies era of Doctor Who, and so he didn't really come up at all. I don't think he's ever guested in, since David Tennant regenerated into Matt Smith, I don't think Jack Harkness has ever guested on the show. And River is also a character that I doubt we will see again, because she was very tied to the 11th Doctor story and to 12 to some extent. But she was also, despite being a large part of storyline, was not a full-time companion. So Bill, who is, I'm not sure what Bill, if Bill is short for something or what, but she is female, is nice. Not only going to be the first gay companion, she is the first black companion since Martha Jones back in season 3 of New Who, which would have been 2008. So, I think she's mixed race. So we have a gay mixed race companion.
There it is. Things are already getting better.
Yeah, pretty much the first time ever, so I'm pretty hyped. I was really...
One step closer.
I think the reason I was so confused about the full-time gay thing is I was like, what is a part-time gay?
I thought I meant they're going to be...
Like, bi?
Biphobic, I guess is what they were. It seemed like a biphobic thing, but nope.
I mean, I would sometimes refer to myself jokingly as, a part-time gay or, half gay, but typically that's not something that one... It's not good discourse, with a capital D, to refer to polysexual people as half-something or part-something.
Well, I'd love to get into more discourse, but it's just gonna be me getting mad at the queer community for being terrible to bi people on a pretty consistent basis. So yeah, I won't get into that.
Let's have a good rest of our Sunday night.
What's left of it. Let's just flush it down the crapper right now. I'm only gonna be awake for 20 more minutes. No, I'm not gonna do that. Let's listen to some music real quick and we'll get back and finish this one off. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Good. Peace. My overweight knuckles will make your knees buckle. I hit enough pros, look like they got carbuncles. Just you? Damn right, fools are crying uncle. Subtle and supple, bring the result for any muckle. Suckers will chuckle, then they get hounded like Huckleberry. Beat down, feeling cheated like a couple. You jacks want to rumble, step up and get troubled. With a grand applause, or is it bare knuckle? Hello and welcome back from that break. As always, you can find information to that music in the show notes. Hope you got a laugh or a giggle out of it. It's probably some nonsense. And we are back for our final segment. That cool shit we got segment. Steph, any cool shit this week?
Well, yes and no. I got a pack of needles for sewing through leather this week, which it to some extent. Shocks me that I did not have that before, after 13 years of cosplaying. But I didn't.
You've been cosplaying longer than some of the people at conventions
have existed. Yeah. Can you imagine how wealthy I would be if I hadn't? And probably I would have spent that money on some other thing, but...
More manga.
Yeah. Holy crap. But anyway, so I bought these leather needles because I glued all of those neat patches that I got for my tracer jacket to the jacket last week, and I wore it out when we went to see the Power Rangers movie just to make sure that they would stay on, and when I was washing my hands in the bathroom after the Power Rangers movie, I looked in the mirror and noticed that the hot glue had pulled up, on half of the patch.
Hmm.
Thankfully, I did not lose any of the patches. I would have been very pissed because I had spent $20 on those patches. But,
cheers, love.
they are not going to sail with hot glue, so I bought leather needles because there's no way... Because the jacket I bought is already, a jacket. It's not, something I sewed together. It's something I bought at Goodwill. I'm going to have to hand sew the patches on at some point.
That's not too bad. Even if it's just, 4 contact points, it'll be better than...
Yeah.
If for some reason you got lazy or ran out of time, there's... enough you could do.
Yeah, so once they're on there, they're on there. I was torn. I was excited about using the hot glue at first because it looked like they were gonna stay on, and I thought then I won't be actually harming the substrate of this jacket. If I ever want to take these patches off, I can, and the jacket will not be harmed. But also they're subtle enough patches that, like, if I just wore the jacket around with the tracer patches on, like, it's one of those things, like, people will get it if they get it, and if people don't get it, it's not gonna be, like, I'm wearing, like, a cosplay and people are confused. It's gonna be, like, she's wearing a jacket with patches from something I don't recognize. Like,
oh, yeah. I wear my Finn jacket to work, and people consistently compliment it. They don't know it's from Star Wars, and that's interesting, but it's nice. It's incognito. Cool. Anything else?
Well, this isn't something I got, but yesterday while I was helping sew, I started watching Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
How is that?
Really enjoyable. And it's got really good opening music. You would like it.
I've seen pictures of it, and I'm already invested in it. Watched an episode.
Yeah.
Or I heard the characters talk.
I mean, like, I looked it up today to see where, like, how far I had watched, because I was like, I want to keep watching this. I was sitting here reading, and I was like, what is this song that stuck in my head? And I was like, oh my god, it's the opening song from Star vs. the Forces of Evil. It's already stuck in my head, and I've only watched how many episodes? And it turns out that they're like Steven Universe episodes, and that it's like a two-part episode with two, like, 12-minute parts to it.
Gravity Falls is like that, right?
Gravity Falls are actually 30-minute episodes. Adventure Time is like that.
Huh.
Yeah. Hmm. Or like 20... Gravity Falls is like 24-minute episodes, you know, like...
Oh, but then they have like little mini ones at the end of some of the episodes?
No.
What am I thinking of, then?
I have no idea what you're thinking of.
I'm gonna look it up. I could have swore there was like a few mini episodes.
There are some mini episodes, but they weren't part of the actual series. They were like things that would show like during commercial breaks or something on XD.
I know what I'm thinking of. It's when it was like a compilation, like when Grunkle Stan was trying to like tell scary stories and
yeah,
sell
stuff. That one. Yeah, that was,
that's right. Okay.
Yeah. That was a single episode that was told in three like completely separate parts kind of thing.
Might be.
With a frame story.
Well, that was the first one I think I ever saw, and I think that's why it stuck with me.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I highly recommend it. I think you'd enjoy it.
Cool. I'll have to get on that. Yeah. Well, I got my Techo badge this week. So,
nice.
To those who listen to the show, we'll be at Techo this week. I will probably pop in on Thursday just to get my pre-reg badge and see if there's anything going on. But Friday through Sunday, I think we'll all be there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yep. So come say hi. We'll be Overwatch on Saturday coming to the photo shoot.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
Dear listeners, if you are Pittsburgh folk, come find us. We'll probably be findable.
Yes, tell your friends.
Tell your friends, add us on Twitter, we'll respond.
We'll post the pics.
We'll provide our location in a completely non-secure way.
Yeah, I'm just going to say the convention center. If you want to find me, just tweet at me and I'll tell you specifically or something. I'm not going to just broadcast it because that's unsafe and narcissistic, and I don't want to be both at the same time.
Do you want to go ahead and guess that we will probably not have an episode for next week?
Maybe. I don't know. It depends on what happens.
We'll see when we record, but consider it a pleasant surprise if there's an episode next week. Let's say that.
If there's an episode next week, it'll be lucky. Even if there is one, it won't probably even be more than 20 minutes.
Like, yeah, so, we enjoyed the con.
It was good. Nothing happened last week at all.
There's no nerd news.
and I got some sweatpants for my cosplay.
Nice. Because
I don't feel like making them, and I'm not very good at sewing. So there'll be hockey pants.
Nice.
In like 4 days. So that's pretty much everything other than the social media business.
Do you want to do it, or do you want me to do it, since we're flipping the script?
Well, last week we switched it anyway, too, so that's screwed. I'll kick it. Let's kick it into hyperdrive. So say you want to hear more from one of us. You'd find me on Twitter at Brother Dom, or on Tumblr, or on Instagram, or anywhere else you'd want to find me. It's Brother Dom, BROTHADOM. You can find Steph at Captain Steph on the tweets, and the Snow Queer on the tumbles. You know, like Jack Skellington, a Snow Queer. You can find this podcast. Yeah, he was in the snow, and people think Jack Skellington may be vaguely queer.
Okay, carry on.
I try to pull out another snowy gay character every week. If you want to find this podcast on Twitter, you can go to @characterref, so that's two R's in the middle. You can find us on Facebook by searching Character Reveal. You'll know the logo. You can find this podcast itself on Stitcher, on Google Play Podcasts, on iTunes, or if you go to characterreveal.simplecast.fm. And we both write for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's intersectional feminism. So ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. And that's all the shiz. Thanks for tuning into another episode, listeners. Some technical difficulties, maybe some rambling, but I think it was a good one. Wouldn't you say so?
I think so. I had a good episode.
Awesome. Hey, well, thanks a lot. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.
And Knuckles.